Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Give people just another second or two to take their seats, and then our secretary will take the roll.
Representative Chair Jones?
Here.
Vice Chair Holman?
Here.
Vice Chair Ruger? Regeer?
Vice Chair Cheetah?
Here.
Vice Chair Cheetah? Vice Chair Cafaro?
Here.
Representative Bartel?
Here. And if you could please speak up. It's difficult to hear back here.
Okay. Representative Beattie?
Here.
Representative Fuller?
Here.
Representative Garner?
Here.
Representative Hamilton?
Here.
Representative Hopkins?
Here.
Representative Keene?
Here.
Representative Keel?
Here.
Representative Kerr Carpenter?
Here.
Representative Mercer?
Here.
Representative Moore?
Here.
Representative Nave?
Here.
Representative Patelis?
Here.
Representative Reed? Representative Ricci?
Here.
Representative Schillinger?
Here.
Representative Stuart Paragoy? Representative Vinton?
Here.
Representative Windy Boy?
Here.
Apparently everybody's here.
So everyone is present. We have 24 members present, either on Zoom or direct, correct?
Is Representative Stuart Paragoy?
Yeah, I believe they're in room 120. Room 120, are you, they should be up on Zoom.
Mr. Chair, we are here, Representative Hopkins and Representative Hamilton in the room.
And so Representative Stuart Paragoy is currently not with you.
Correct.
Okay, so 23 of 24 members are present. All right, with that, we'll do a little bit of introductions here. First, we'll begin with our Sergeant, Jim Brown, who wants to speak to you a few minutes about the process and the safety aspects.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you this morning. For your information, my name is Jim Brown. I am on the House Sergeant's staff. Assisting me for the first few weeks of the session will be Joseph Capiche back there. He also goes by Wyatt. We are here to serve you. If you have any needs or anything that you have that needs to be attended to, please get with Wyatt or myself, and we will make every attempt to make sure that your needs are covered. You will see there's 12 of us. We have on these fashionable blue blazers. So if you see one of us around the Capitol, by all means, come up, say hi, and if you need something, ask them for it. A little word about sanitation. So at the end of every morning meeting, Wyatt and myself will be in this room. We'll sanitize the horizontal surfaces, so that the room will be ready for the afternoon committee hearing. In the evening, the custodial staff for the Capitol will be coming in and fogging the room. We would like to request that you not leave soft materials on the tables. We found out by accident the other day that the fogging material has a tendency to fold everything up on you. So just a word of caution on that. Of course, right now we have the barrier here, so on This side of the room will be all masked individuals. The other side of the room has the option of wearing masks or not. For emergencies, all of the sergeant staff are carrying radios. If we receive notification that there is an emergency in the Capitol anywhere, I will be coming in that door and informing the chairman that we have an emergency in progress, and I will give you instructions with his assistance on what we would like you to do. If it's a fire, the fire alarms will go off and it'll be self-evident. Likewise, if we have a seismic event, I'm sure that you'll know that we have a seismic event. And the best aspect of that, the prison makes very heavy furniture. So if we get a seismic shake, head underneath your tables, or as an alternative, the doorways are very deep here. They make excellent seismic shelters also. Please do not try to exit the building while the earthquake is happening. More people are killed trying to exit a building than staying in the building. So find something solid to get under and protect yourself. In the event of an active shooter, and goodness only knows, we hope we will never, ever have to encounter that here. If I get information that there is an active shooter around here, my first response will be to attempt to lock the doors so that nobody can come in. If we have an indication of where the active shooter is and it is safe for you to exit, we ask that you exit quickly and then run like mad and just keep on running. Don't stick around. Don't start conversations or try to attempt to get back in the building. If, however, we are unable to evacuate you, we will turn off the lights. We will ask that you be quiet. We will ask that you get up against this wall so that you are protected. And then should anything happen and the person tries to enter the room, then we will do everything we can to make sure that he can't get in the room with any means that we have available to us, that being including chairs, microphones, media cameras, whatever we have available to us. For your information, there are two exits out of this room, one over each wing. Oh, I'm in the wrong place, sorry. One exit over there, one exit over there. Once you get in the hallway, there is, of course, the exit, the two exits out the main part of the building. There is also two exits up here just outside the Legislative Services Division that take you outside. If we have an evacuation, we ask that you marshal down on the northeast corner of the Capitol lawn opposite the Historical Society. There will be a person there with a blue flag with a red stripe. That is our marshaling area. We ask that you check in with that person to make sure that we know that you are out of the building. If it's an inclement day, please still check in with that person. And then once you're checked in, if you want to go to your car or something to shelter, you're certainly more than welcome to do so. Other than that, if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. I look forward, as does Wyatt, to serving you this session. We hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful time here in Helena and in the Capitol. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Are there any questions for the sergeant? Or sergeants? Thank you, sir. Look forward to working with you this year. And if you need anything from us, ask us.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, some general housekeeping stuff we need to go through before we get started. This is room 102. It is the main hearing room. Our overflow rooms are available in 101 for the back half of the room. That's the room whose door is open. You can see from here, overflow is available in room 120 for the front half of the room. We won't have snacks initially. We'll try to have coffee on both ends, but initially we will not have snacks. Bring your own snacks. We'll try to have coffee and water. This session, it's going to be hybrid. We will be using a combination of in-person, Zoom, and Teams, and, of course, email. If you aren't on Teams, there is a House Appropriations chat block on Teams where we'll try to make sure stuff that's for the good of this committee is distributed to everyone. So all official actions will be conducted through Zoom, so when you talk into your mic, you will also be talking onto the Zoom system as well. And you can also use Teams to communicate with staff and do other actions. Again, I would suggest if you're not on Teams and Zoom and aren't ready to run, it's time to talk to the IT staff and get hooked up. Protocol, again, the Zoom link will be on, but the mics actually talk through Zoom, so if you bring your computer in here, you need to mute its microphone or we'll start getting feedback. The room speaker will not only broadcast your voice in its room, it broadcasts it over Zoom, so you are going statewide. If you participate remotely from home or from any other spot, the same will occur. The Zoom voice will be broadcasted in this room. LSD has created a web link on the main legislative page. And if you go to their main page, you can find that link so that agencies, lobbyists, and the public, and those that are interested in doing public comment over Zoom, may submit both written testimony, and they also may request to be available on Zoom today. Of course, we're the first folks to try this, so we'll see how this works. Members of this committee, if you're sponsoring a bill directly, because of the split up of the room and the fact there's folks potentially in overflow rooms, you can actually present your bill, if you so choose, from your assigned seat, just to stop the level of disruption it might take having people come from the outside rooms. If you do choose to come to the microphone on this side of the room, remember this is the mask side of the room. And so at least coming to the mic, we will have masks. Some general mechanics. Proxies. We prefer a handwritten proxy form. However, a proxy by mail is sufficient if it is sent to the vice chair and the committee clerk in advance of executive action. I would suggest that everybody, we have vice chairs both in the back and the front of the room. I would suggest that if you're in the front side of the room, Representative Cafaro is a vice chair, Representative Homeland, Representative Regeer, and Representative Cheetah. I would suggest that you each sign and get in some proxy forms. If not, and you wish to do an email proxy, the proxy in the email cannot arrive. It cannot arrive after the vote. It needs to be here before the vote. This is a 24-member committee with three staff, so we have to fit 27 people. Quorum is 13 of the members. Right now, the legislative division, Joe Treem, will be joining us here after a couple weeks, but their staff was not allowed to be in the room for the first 2 weeks. And most of us have been around before, but we're going to have those sheets out so we know what our motions, such as a table motion, which was non-debatable. Hearings on bills will be scheduled. We're going to try to give a 3-day notice of scheduling. And if a fiscal note is required, we're going to have to coordinate with the fiscal note availability. Schedule of executive action. We'll try to schedule. I'm not a big fan of having a folder full of bills, so I try to schedule executive action steadily, but I will always allow time for you to get your amendments, etc. But I would hope the amendments will be in ahead of time. So what amendments? The staff is now not all on site, and so I would suggest that you request your amendments 24 hours in advance because our editors are all off site. Conceptual amendments will be discouraged, although I understand that, especially with this committee that has deadlines sometimes that we run into, we may do some conceptual, but it's going to have to be relatively simple and and very necessary, and right up against the deadline. What do I also want? Okay, debate. I will ask for proponents. I'll try to get a count on if it's a bill that's got a lot of proponents, opponents. I'll try to ask for a count of proponents, both in the room and on Zoom. Opponents, both in the room and on Zoom. And we'll figure out the number of folks available. We'll try to treat everyone fairly for all. But obviously, there are sometimes at points that we are going to have to ensure that we can get our work done, too. Both sides will be assigned fair time. Okay. The House Bill 2 process, we'll touch on it. Obviously, we're going to be split into subcommittees. Again, all those individual subcommittees are posted online. We've all had some training on the links to go there. And we will also have to work with Senate Finance and Claims. So I encourage our chairs from the House side to work with their vice chairs from the Senate side. Resources we will be looking at include the budget status sheet. We will do some trainings as needed. And your fiscal staff is always there to help and show you, as are your vice chairs and more senior members. And so I realize that's a long list of stuff. It's going to be unique and new this time. It's an interesting thing to watch Teams, watch Zoom, try to listen to staff in your ear and talk to everyone. But we'll see if we can make that work out. And so if it's a little clunky for that, I apologize. This is new to all of us. But we'll see if we can't do a good job. And so with that, I'm going to pause, see if there's any questions, and if not, we'll get underway. Okay, well, I guess we will begin hearing bills, and I believe, well, there was a list on the board, but I believe Representative Beattie, you are the man of the hour, the first bill of the session. Have at it, sir.
Thank you, Chair Jones. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the Appropriations Committee, for the record, my name is David Beattie, representative of House District 86, which is comprised of Hamilton and the immediately surrounding area. The bill I bring for your consideration is House Bill 3, which provides supplemental appropriations proposed by the governor and required to close out fiscal year 2021, which ends on 30 June 2021. Supplemental appropriations are requested for two agencies, three for the Department of Revenue and one for the Office of Public Instruction. The first request from the Department of Revenue is for $1.35 million of general funds for the director's office. These funds will be used to start implementation of legalization, taxation, and regulation of marijuana as required by voter-approved I-190. In order to meet the aggressive timeline for legalization, the agency must begin preparations this fiscal year, hence this request for funding. The second request from the Department of Revenue is just over $5.8 million of general funds in order to pay for a summary judgment against the state in the case LL Liquor versus the State of Montana et al., which was decided in federal court. The state was found to have been in breach of agency contract with the liquor store, hence an award for economic damages and attorney fees must be paid by the state. The final request from the Department of Revenue is $8 million in proprietary funds, which are to be transferred to the general fund. This appropriation authority is due to a significant increase in liquor sales and license fee revenue and is necessary so the department can make general fund transfers as required by law. Just as a note, September sales for liquor were 36% higher than a year prior. The Office of Public Instruction requests $4.5 million from the general fund in order to complete school funding formula payments for fiscal year 2021. This requirement is primarily due to a drastic shortfall in guarantee account revenue, which must be backfilled by the general fund. Also contributing were a slight increase in A and B and in the retirement account. The decline in proceeds from state lands was partially offset by an adjustment to guaranteed tax base aid. Not reflected in this bill that you have before you today is recently received federal funding in the amount of approximately $800 million, which is associated with the recently enacted COVID-19 relief funding that is coming out of Washington. This funding is due to arrive within a few weeks. The amendment, I will note that an amendment will be offered for executive action when we take executive action with the details, but allow me to just briefly tell you what the structure of that amendment is. Several agencies will be receiving funding. The federal law is quite prescriptive in terms of what the funds can be used for. The governor's office will receive $24.5 million for an education relief fund. OPI will receive education stabilization funds of approximately $170 million. Emergency rental assistance to commerce in the amount of $200 million. Unemployment insurance and administration going to the Department of Business and Labor, $5 million. To DPHHS, vaccine funding at just under $38 million. Testing, tracing, and mitigation, just over $192 million. Child care, just under $29 million. To the Department of Transportation, highway program, almost $103 million. There is $38 million in other funding going to the governor's office. This comes to a total of approximately $800 million. The difficulty that the budget office has right now is that these numbers are tentative, and so the structure of the amendment is such that it does prescribe the initial allocation but allows the budget office flexibility to move money between these pots. It also has a reporting requirement to the legislature in terms of actions taken of that sort. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Representative Beattie. At this point, we will hear from proponents that wish to enter the room. Representative Homeland, would you mention to the sergeant if there's any proponents that wish to walk in the room? We will address them first. Okay, there are no proponents that wish to speak in the room. Well, let me confirm that for 1 second. I thought... are there proponents that are on Zoom?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I see Ken Bailey from Office of Public Instruction up first as a proponent.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey.
You want to start also? Okay.
Good morning. I'm not Mr. Bailey. I'm Superintendent Elsie Arnson. We are sharing a room here for the benefit of EES as well as for protection under COVID rules and regulations. So, for the record, Superintendent Elsie Arnson, it's my honor and pleasure to be serving our Montana students, and in this realm, serving the legislature with great information as you proceed. So, within House Bill 3, we have some asks because of some state lands deficit that we need to make sure that our students have all the dollars that has been required, as a promise is a promise. I would also like to share that I thank the sponsor, Representative Beattie, for also hearing a request that is not necessarily in front of you at this point, but for a supplemental for in-state treatment students and their education services that are rendered at these in-state treatment facilities. This has been through an interim discussion, and I want to thank very much Representative Beattie for championing and looking at this a little bit longer, and we might quite possibly come to you in a different manner. But with that, Mr. Chair, good morning. I wish you all the best. I would like to turn it over to Mr. Bailey, our CFO at the OPI. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Arnson. Mr. Bailey.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the sponsor did a great job of explaining the request for our supplemental need for base aid. I had provided through the portal an explanation as well as a spreadsheet that breaks down all of the components of base aid and shows the need. And as stated, it's primarily because of a shortfall in the guarantee account. So at that point, I'll just stand by for any questions that the committee may have.
Thank you, sir. Are there additional proponents on Zoom?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I see four more proponents currently.
If you would state the name of the next proponent, and we will go ahead and continue to work our way through the list.
Okay, the next proponent I see is Emily Dean the Montana School Boards Association.
Thank you, Ms. Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Emily Dean, D-E-A-N. I'm the Director of Advocacy at the Montana School Boards Association. We're here today in support of HB3, which includes the K-12 supplemental for K-12 base aid. This funding ensures that property taxes remain at budget levels and that Montana's public schools are able to provide an education consistent with Article 10 of the Montana Constitution. We would also note that we do support the intent of the amendment and appreciate your time here today.
Thank you, Ms. Dean. Next proponent, please.
Next up, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have Dennis Parman of Montana Rural Education Association.
Mr. Parman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dennis Parman, P-A-R-M-A-N. I'm the executive director of the Montana Rural Education Association. I want to start by offering my thanks to everyone that's been able to make this morning happen the way that it has. I have a sense that a tremendous amount of work has gone into that, and it's much appreciated. MREA would like to lend its support to House Bill 3. We really don't have anything to add in terms of detail. This money has been noted by the sponsor is to help public schools across Montana finish the school year with the state funding that was promised by the legislature in the last session. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Parman. Next proponent, please.
Next up, Mr. Chair, we have Eric Burke of Montana Federation of Public Employees.
Mr. Burke.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Appropriations Committee.
We really don't have anything to add in terms of detail. This money has been noted by the sponsor is to...
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
Mr. Burke.
Mr. Burke, one second here. Something happened to your mic. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Burke, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chairman. This is Hope Stockwell. Mr. Burke, something happened with your microphone. Can you try unmuting again and see how that goes?
Is that better?
It is.
Okay, thank you for that, Hope. Mr. Chairman, members of the Appropriations Committee, Eric Burke with Montana Federation of Public Employees. Name is spelled E-R-I-K, last name B-U-R-K-E. Thank you for your time today, and welcome to Helena for those of you who are here, and welcome via Zoom. We look forward to working with the Appropriations Committee on numerous issues. Today, we are standing in support of House Bill 3, would urge your support of this bill, as was said earlier, to meet Montana's promise to our K-12 students. The Montana Federation of Public Employees represents over 12,000 educators and school employees working across the state of Montana. These dollars are very essential to offering the quality education that's guaranteed under our Constitution, and we appreciate your consideration of that to make the school districts whole for this biennium. We would also support the amendments that were brought forward today or have been suggested by Representative Beatty. Appreciate those coming forward. Rolling out COVID relief to schools and to state government as is contemplated is necessary. And we would hope that we could roll those dollars out as fast as possible. And by incorporating those amendments into this bill, we think that's a great strategy and would appreciate the committee's consideration of that. So thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to working with you throughout the session.
Thank you, sir. Next proponent, please.
Mr. Chair, those are all the proponents that I have on my list.
Okay. So no more proponents on Zoom then. Am I correct?
As far as I can tell, I see some informational witnesses, but no more proponents.
No more proponents. All right. With that, we'll ask for Representative Garner.
Mr. Chair, I see, I think it's Representative Hamilton trying to get your attention on the screen.
Representative Hamilton, you're muted, Representative Hamilton. Were you trying to get my attention? No, I do not believe so. Okay, I didn't see their hands raised anyway. So, if there are no more proponents, are there any opponents? Are there any opponents? Okay, seeing none, we're now going to switch to informational opponents. We probably better check the hall for opponents. Opponents here, opponents in the screen. Okay. All right, informational witnesses in the hallway. Okay. Are there any informational witnesses on Zoom?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I see first up Dave Stewart of Department of Revenue.
Mr. Stewart.
Mr. Stewart, you might need to... Okay, looks like you're unmuted. Mr. Stewart, are you there?
I see he tried to unmute himself, but he's not. We're not hearing him.
Okay, we'll go to the next and then try to troubleshoot that, if that's all right, Mr. Chair. I see Amy Sassano.
Thank you. Ms. Sassano?
Good morning, members of the committee. I would point out that Kurt Almy is on the line, and he was trying to be a proponent, but I think he got missed. I'm here as an...
Apologies, Ms. Sano. I think something went wrong there. Are you there?
I am. Am I unmuted now?
Yep.
So first I want to point out that Kurt Almy is on the line, and he was trying to be a proponent for the bill. He's the budget director for Governor Gianforte. If you see him on your list, I am here as an informational witness if there are questions on the bill or the amendment.
So, Monty, we would go back to proponents if you see Director Almy on the list.
I see Director Almy. He's allowed to talk now.
Director Almy is allowed to talk now. We're just going to have to do this a little unusual till we get it down pat. But Director Almy. Director Almy, you're muted. Monty, can you unmute yep. Director Almy?
I've just asked him to unmute. Director Almy, can you try unmuting? Apologies, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to hop in. This is Ms. Stockwell. Previously, we had luck hearing Mr. Almy when he was a panelist. I'm just going to take the initiative to move him into the main Zoom room to see if we can hear him that way, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Almy, can you unmute yourself, please? We still don't hear you, Mr. Almy. Mr. Chair, I don't know if Ms. Sassano is able to communicate with Mr. Almy somehow in the background there to help sort out.
Ms. Sassano, if Mr. Almy's in the building, could he potentially use your contact to speak, your setup, or maybe you're not close to each other?
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, Ms. Sasano.
Okay, so on Kurt's computer, when you popped up the unmute thing, it said it was for Dave Stewart.
Got it. I'll rename.
Now he shows unmuted. Mr. Almy, can you, we hear you now?
I'm just going to have him come into my office. Hang on one sec.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. There we go.
There we go. Thank you. I think we got it figured out. I think I was Dave Stewart. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Kurt Almy, K-U-R-T-A-L-M-E, Budget Director for Governor Gianforte. Pleased to have the opportunity to appear before you this morning. On behalf of the governor, I want to testify in support of House Bill 3. One item in the bill and the amendments regarding the COVID relief funding are of particular timely importance. Appropriation authority to pass along the COVID relief funds authorized by Congress and President Trump is needed soon to preclude interruption of federal funding on several COVID-related issues as described by Representative Beattie. In addition, in order to timely implement I-190, the marijuana initiative, funding is needed to allow the Department of Revenue to begin preparations during this fiscal year. Mr. Chairman, we have representatives here from several agencies, particularly the Department of Revenue, Department of Commerce, our office, to answer any specific questions that you or the committee may have, and we would urge the committee to pass House Bill 3. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Almy. So now I believe if that goes under the proponent list, not informational, then we'll switch to the informational list, which I believe is Ms. Sasano.
One second, Ms. Sasano. I just need to allow you to talk. You should be ready to go.
So as I stated before, my name's Amy Sasano. That's S-A-S-S-A-N-O. I'm the Deputy Budget Director, and I'm just here to answer any questions that you have about the original bill. There is also an amendment to the Department of Revenue to slightly reduce the requested amount for the director's office, and also about the COVID amendments, either the $800 million bucket, or there's also a $650,000 budget from interest earned on the coronavirus relief fund. If there are questions on any of those items, I am happy to answer them.
Thank you, Ms. Sasano. Are there additional informational witnesses?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have Shauna Helfert from Department of Revenue.
Thank you, Shauna.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Shauna Helfert, and I am the Deputy Director of the Department of Revenue, and I am available to answer any questions. In addition, I have a couple other folks on the line with me, Dave Stewart and Becky Blau from the ABCD division. If we need their assistance, they're here to help as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Shauna. Additional informational.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I see Erica Johnston.
Thank you. Ms. Johnston.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Erica Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N. I'm the Operations Services Branch Manager for the Department of Public Health and Human Services, here to answer any questions regarding the amendment for DPHHS to issue coronavirus relief funding to our local across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional informational?
I would just ask if there's anyone else over Zoom who's here as an informational witness, could you raise your hand?
We do have a hand raised.
I see Cheryl Cohen.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cheryl Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, and I have the pleasure of serving as the Housing Division Transportation Administrator with the Department of Commerce, and I'm available to answer any questions regarding the additional funding for emergency rental assistance under the COVID amendment.
Thank you, Ms. Cohen. And I believe we have another informational.
Yep, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have Natalie Smithen.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Natalie Smithen. That's S-M-I-T-H-A-M. I'm the Centralized Services Division Administrator with the Department of Labor and Industry. And I'm here to answer any questions that you might have about the department's involvement in the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. So one more time on informational witnesses.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I see Lawrence Flynn.
Thank you. Lawrence?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Larry Flynn with the Department of Transportation. That's F-L-Y-N-N. I'm here to answer any questions you have on the highway funding and the coronavirus relief bill or amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. Additional informational?
I'm not seeing any more, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Monty. Okay. At this point, I guess we're at questions from the committee, both in the computer and, well, I'm going to go back to the panelists just a second. You're going to change screens. In the committee and on the screen. Are there questions from the committee? Mr. Rickey, Representative Rickey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Ms. Helfert, please.
Thank you, Ms. Helfert. Is that correct? So we're...
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rifke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Helfert, on the Lolo liquor settlement, can you give us a breakdown of the amount of money that goes to Lolo liquor and the amount that was spent on attorneys? Is that possible?
Mr. Chair, Representative Rifke, I do not know that number off the top of my head. I do know that the judgment that was ordered was $5 million to Lolo Liquor, and the rest of the $8.8 million is for the interest. But I do not have on the top of my head how much we spent on our attorney's fees. I can definitely get that for you, though.
That would be, I would just like to have that information. So thank you, Ms. Helfert. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I can have a clarifying question on that, is that Representative Rickey, did you want what the Department of Revenue spent on our attorney fees, or did you want what fees were paid by Lolo Liquor?
Well, actually, I would like both. I would just like to have a breakdown of the $5.8 million that's being spent.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rickey, the $5.8 million that's being spent and requested here is $5 million for... the judgment that's going to go to Lolo Liquor, and the $0.8 million is actually for interest that will also go to Lolo Liquor. So this whole amount will ultimately go to Lolo Liquor. I do not know what portion of that 0.8 will go to their attorneys because I don't have that information. That's between them.
Thank you, Ms. Helfert. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Vice Chair Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got just one logistical question, a couple of questions then for departments. To start off, so the amendment here, is this, I don't know, we're all learning here, but I don't have it, I don't believe. How are we doing amendments? Is maybe talk us through that.
Thank you, Vice Chair Gere. Because the folks bringing the bill knew there were amendments, I told them to at least mention them in their testimony, but the actual amendment will be presented during executive action.
Okay.
So we will see a physical amendment during executive action, as we always have.
Okay. Okay. Then a couple follow-ups here.
Follow-up?
So this one for Department of Revenue. On the recreational marijuana, that $1.3 million, what was the thought process? Is that just speed that it's here in the supplemental bill, or is there something else that it didn't come in its own bill?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman. Again, this is Shauna Helfert with the Department of Revenue. And the $3.5 million, which is what is in the bill right now, we will be asking for less than that because of the timing of the bill. But really, the intent of the money is for, because of the aggressive timeline that the initiative is supposed to be implemented by, in order for us to meet those deadlines, we need to get some funding into the program so that we can start hiring and training and developing all the business requirements and business rules so that we can issue licenses by October 1st.
Okay, quick follow-up on that.
Follow-up, Vice Chair.
So how, maybe if you could tell us how you came to that 1.3 million FTE, I mean, operational, where's that all going? This is just kind of a black box here. So is that something you can get for us?
Mr.
Shauna, we see you're talking, but we're not hearing.
Okay, Mr. Chair, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Yes, the $1.3 million, which will actually be $1,066,000, that's what our amendment will be going forward. But that is comprised of, well, first of all, we came up with that number is based upon the fact that we had done a lot of research to determine how much, what it was going to take for the department to implement the initiative, and we visited with many states and others, folks that have done this in the past, and so we used that information to come up with it. If you look at the number of personal services, the personal services in this is the bulk of the cost is basically to get the personal services up and folks hired. That's 20 FTE by the end of the year is what our intention is there. And the rest of the money, $490,000 of that million, is going to be in operating expenses, which will include just getting those FTEs up with equipment, rent, and supplies, as well as, looking at places for a cash machine. In order to collect this type of money, this is a very cash-intensive business, and it's been said by other states that we need to make sure that we have a cash collection room, so we'll need to find some space for that and do a build-out. So that all is included in the $1.1 million. I hope that helps.
Thank you. And one follow-up on a totally different?
Follow-up, Vice Chair.
This is for OPI on the guaranteed fund account. Where did we fall short on that? Assuming coal?
OPI, do we have a OPI, Mr. Bailey?
One second. Just allowing Mr. Bailey to talk here.
Mr. Chair and Vice Chair Regeer, I don't have a breakdown of where all the shortfall is coming from, but I would be glad to go to the people who monitor that fund, those revenues, and come up with an answer and supply it to the committee.
That would be excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Windy Boy, I believe you are next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the HHS Lady Erica Johnston.
Thank you, HHS, Erica.
Chairman, Representative Windyboy.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Erica, I hear that you had this COVID funding as a part of the ask in the HHS amendment, and I'd like to see what the breakout of how the distribution is going to be, how it's going to be distributed, and also the amount that the department is asking for. Is that going to be enough to make it across the state and local governments?
Chairman, Representative Windy Boy, we have only begun to receive the information related to the allocations that will be coming to the state. As we get those grant awards in, we will be then determining based on the notice of grant awards which portions are getting distributed to local and tribal health departments, which versus which ones will be necessary to maintain our testing contracts, to maintain the level of testing that we have. But certainly our intent is to get these funds out to our local and tribal health departments to support the costs associated with rapid vaccine distribution and our high level of testing to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So we don't know all of the money that we will be getting yet. And I believe that the amendment is at the level necessary to account for the unknown funding that we haven't received yet. But to date, we know we'll get about $40 million for vaccine funding to support those efforts statewide, approximately $192 million to support ongoing testing, tracing, and mitigation. And a lot of that work we know is done at the local and public, our local and tribal health departments, and so we will be distributing that money out. And an additional approximate $30 million to support the child care providers who are supporting our working families to keep our child care industry solvent as well. So as those dollars come in, we'll establish those pass-through funds to our local providers and health departments.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. Erica, can I get that information so we can have it in front of me for my leisure?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Vice Chair Cafaro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the representative from Department of Revenue.
Thank you.
Could you remind me of her name, please? Her last name? Helker?
Good morning.
Ms. Helpern.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cafaro, my name is Shauna Helfert, H-E-L-F-E-R-T.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Helfert, I have a question about the implementation of the recreational marijuana program. And my question is, of the 20 FTE, is that 20 FTE just to get the program up and running, or will those be ongoing positions?
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman Cafaro, those positions are just what's necessary to get the program up and running. I do anticipate those positions, we will ask for them to be permanent positions going forward in our budget request in our House Bill 2. And we do anticipate there will be more than just those 20 folks to implement this program.
Follow-up.
But these are just the folks that are necessary for this particular fiscal year.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Helpert, then I think you said around 490,000 operating. Same question, is that funding you anticipate? I understand this is just one time only to get the program up and running, but do you anticipate that also being a budget that's approximate to what it will cost to run the program? And if so, is that an annual amount?
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chairman Cafaro, so that operating will, it is one time only, like you said, that operating will continue over the course of time, and it will be much larger. That is just enough, the bare bones, to get us started. It doesn't include the majority of the cost, like to do any IT development. It's just to get the folks on board to start lining out the computer requirements, the business requirements, those kind of things. In fiscal year 2022, we'll be asking for additional funding that would include all those functions, and those numbers would ramp up over time due to the implementation of it. For an example, the tax, we may not put a tax auditor on there, or may not add a tax auditor until January of 2022. Because there would be pretty much no sales until then, or the tax wouldn't be collected until then. And so we will ramp up that program accordingly.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Ms. Cohen from Department of Commerce.
Ms. Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I missed who requested the question, but I'm available.
Vice Chair Cafaro requested a question, Ms. Cohen.
Chairman, Vice Chair Cafaro, this is Cheryl Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. I'm happy to answer any question you have.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Cohen, I have a question to the rental assistance. In the last stimulus funding, there was also rental assistance, and I was wondering how much of that was actually spent on rental assistance. So what was the total amount for the rental assistance, and how much actually went out the door specific to rental assistance, please?
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Cafaro, thank you for the question. Under the CARES Act Coronavirus Relief Fund Emergency Housing Assistance Program, we awarded a little over $8.4 million to approximately 2,400 Montanans for rental and homeowner mortgage payment assistance.
Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Cohen, and the second part of that question was, what was the total that you had received specific for rental assistance?
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Cafaro, we initially received an allocation of $50 million from the $1.25 billion in a coronavirus relief funds received by the state of Montana, and we have returned some of those funds back to OBPP, so we awarded just over $8.4 million of that $50 million that had been allocated.
Last question, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Ms. Cohen, so my question is, it seems at about more than 50% went out actually to rental assistance to support landlords, banks, and also the people who needed it. Is there a thought to doing things differently so that more funding can get out? Because the amount going for rental assistance or earmarked is much higher this time for $15 million. So do you have a plan to be able to get more of that money out into the state this time?
Mr. Chairman, Vice Chair Cafaro, that's a terrific question. And yes, we've already been preparing to review the program that we operated this year and apply some lessons learned to the new funding we have available. The new funding allows a process for both the renter to apply as well as potentially the landlord to apply on their renter's behalf. So we have a briefing memo prepared and we're ready to provide our feedback on ways we can improve the program with these additional fund sources for the incoming Commerce Director.
Thank you. That's awesome to hear. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Cohen.
Thank you. Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for Shauna Helford.
Shauna?
Representative Keene, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Shauna. I want to follow up with Representative Ricky on the settlement. I would like to see how much the department spent over time in the lawsuit to their lawyers, because this has been going on for a long time. That's one thing I would like to see. The other part is the settlement's $5 million, and you mentioned there's, according to what we're looking at in front of us, $819,000 in to be paid to them. But if you haven't settled, that number will change because that will continue until you actually pay them. So how are you addressing that, I guess, on the interest of this long-running lawsuit?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, so that $1.8 million is calculated through the end of April because I didn't know when this bill would be passed. If you want to know the actual cost today, as of January 5th, it is for interest $632,876. So it's a little bit less, but that 8.19 is calculated through the end of April.
Follow, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Chairman, Shauna, you're estimating that there's the 819 is going to cover it whenever this gets settled.
Mr. Chair, Representative Keene, so this is a judgment. The $5 million is already a judgment. So we know that we owe him $5 million. We also owe him $5 million plus interest. So the interest is what we're actually trying to estimate. We know today it's $5.6 million. Towards the end of April, it will be $5.9 million.
or 5.8, excuse me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I do understand that. So you're betting that this is going to be done by the end of April, is what you're saying.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, what I was anticipating is this bill, this House Bill 3, would be passed by the end of April. If this is passed and the money is released to the department, that's how much we owe, because this has already been settled in court, and we we've gone through all the channels, so at this point in time, we don't have any further steps to take. This is a judgment, and then this is the interest that's owed.
I get that, Sean, and thank you. I would still like to see how much the department over time has spent on this lawsuit. I would like that number.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keenan, absolutely. I'll get you the cost that we spent on attorney fees.
Thank you. And I have one other question for Ms. Helford, Mr. Chairman. On the $1.35 million, so we're getting the program up and running. Would you be opposed to an amendment that says once the program is up and running, that 1.35 or the 1.1, you said it was going to be different, let's call it $1 million, will be paid back by the program to the general fund? Because we're borrowing from the general fund to get you up and running. Why aren't you willing to pay it back out of the marijuana money, or are you willing to pay it back?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, that's a great thought. I wouldn't have any objections to that. I did, one point of reference, though, is that you're absolutely correct that this initiative is supposed to be self-funded, and so we are supposed to collect fees, and the fees that we collect are supposed to cover the cost of the program. Those fees are going to be, it will be a while before those fees come in, so we won't even have, not only do we have that problem in fiscal year 2021, we're also going to have it in fiscal year 2022, where we're going to have to expend money up front, but we won't be collecting any licensing fees from the folks that are going to be licensed as providers.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up, so if I made an amendment that you're going to get this money paid back, you'd be happy with that?
Mr. Chair, member, Mr. Chair, Representative Keenan, I think that makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, I would have a question for Mr. Flynn.
Mr. Flynn?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene.
Thank you, Larry. We don't have it in front of us right now, the other part of the amendment, but I'm interested in how the Department of Transportation is going to spend the federal revenue that's going to come in this supplemental. What are you going to use it for? I guess that's my question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, the department has many, many projects that are ready to go. They're designed. They're in our plan. We just simply don't have a funding source. So this money would enable us to construct some of the projects that we otherwise don't have a funding source for. The total amount that we are anticipating is about $102 million, and that will come without a state match. So we should be able to get those projects out. We actually have a fairly large window in which to deliver projects associated with that money. So the department sees no reason why we shouldn't be able to deliver.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow up, Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Flynn. So of that money coming in, is there restrictions on it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, it would be the same restrictions that are on our normal federal funding that we receive from FHWA. So it will be used in conjunction with our normal federal aid construction program and the restrictions that that money has on it.
Well, one last follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up, Representative.
So it goes into the restricted pot or the unrestricted pot, or is it split?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keene, it would go to neither pot. So the restricted or non-restricted funding is, you're referring to the constitutional restriction on the state special revenue funds, so the state gas tax, These are federal dollars that come in similar to our other federal FHWA money. So they don't go into a state account. They stay in the federal account. We will spend state dollars up front and get reimbursed from the federal government. So that reimbursement would go into the restricted account. But that's the money that we would use to pay for the projects up front. So it would be cash neutral at the end of the project.
Well, thank you. This sounds like the freebie account to me. Thank you.
There's no money available for Butte in there, Representative Keene. Additional questions from the committee, Representative Mercer?
I've got a question for the sponsor, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Beattie.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Beattie, in your presentation, I didn't hear any discussion about an amendment that was going to be a supplemental for the Office of Public Instruction that seemed consistent with what I heard the superintendent say. Now, I want to make sure I understand the scope of the amendment that you intend to offer when this comes up for executive action. Is it going to have any scope for OPI beyond what is set forth here on the page?
Chairman Jones, Representative Mercer, I am not offering an amendment that addresses the concern that the superintendent has.
Okay.
And this is a larger problem. We're looking at it, funding of in-state treatment. I don't think the solution will involve a supplemental, but might involve legislation that will be introduced later in the session.
Okay. Thank you. I've got a separate question for the chairman, for the chairman of Section E, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Representative Mercer.
Representative Beattie, can you help us understand, is there a briefing paper on this new federal supplemental revenue? Because during the interim, you and I worked quite closely to try to figure out all those CARES Act streams. I understand that there isn't much, if any, discretion with these dollars, but do we have the actual breakout and the language that Congress imposed so we understand just exactly what it is that the executive branch is going to do, particularly if we really don't have any authority in terms of what to do with those dollars?
Chairman Jones, Representative Mercer, the fact of the matter is many of the details of this program are still being worked out. I would defer to Director Almy for a specific answer on this. The way that you describe the situation in general is the way I generally understand it as well. These are the requirements in the federal programs here leave much less discretion to the state in terms of how the money is to be spent. But to answer your question directly, no, I have not seen the entire the bill language as you and I looked at for the CARES Act earlier.
Would you like a redirect, Representative Mercer, to Director Almy?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like the director to weigh in on that if he could, because I think that the committee would benefit from understanding what distinguishes these dollars from the CARES Act dollars that we became familiar with during the interim. So, yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Director Almy?
Chairman Jones, Representative Mercer. I'm getting feedback. Is there feedback on your end?
No, it's quiet on our end.
Okay. I'll go ahead then. Representative Mercer, you're right. My understanding of the coronavirus relief funds that were recently signed into law by the president are less flexible than the CARES Act funds, which were initially appropriated early in the COVID crisis. We can provide you a general write-up. What we don't have is detailed guidance from Washington yet, and that we expect is going to be coming out in stages. We can provide you what we have, which is a breakdown of the different funding streams and the restrictions that we're aware of to date. And I don't know if that's already been provided to you. If it hasn't, we certainly can do so.
Mr. Chairman, if we can request that from Director Almy and Deputy Director Sassano, I think that would be helpful.
Thank you. We would ask that that be distributed to the committee. And Director Almy, since you are on the line, and I don't have to bring you up again, I would have one question as well. So it's your interest then as the executive that we do this relatively quickly. You expect the appropriation, I understand, to be here within about 3 weeks and to try and get the bill to move this so that you would have spending authority when the appropriation arrives?
Chairman Jones, that's correct. Again, we're still short on details, but we do anticipate funds to begin flowing fairly soon. And we do not want to be in a position of holding them up, particularly related to vaccine funding, testing, tracing, mitigation, child care, and some of these other critical programs. So we would ask that the committee consider, certainly provide you whatever information you need to make a good decision and be sure that what's being done here is transparent, but that we be provided that appropriation authority fairly soon so that we can avoid an interruption of payments and, more importantly, an interruption of services in those critical areas.
Thank you, Director. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got a question for Ms. Helford as well, if I may.
Ms. Helford?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Helford, I wonder if in the course of working up the request of 1.35, which sounds like is now being reduced, if you've put together a plan that says, here's why we need this number. We've got this number of FTEs that we need to hire. They would do these functions. Is there that degree of detail that we could get our hands on to understand exactly what that immediate need is? Obviously, this is going to be the subject of, I think, a lot of legislative activity. And one of the things, if we just kick this deadline down the road, we might be able to avoid the supplemental altogether. But I think it would be helpful if we understood what the specifics of that request are. Do you have that detail in writing that you could share with us?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mercer, I do have some detail on that. I have details on, you know, some basic operating cost as well as the type of positions that we think were going to be needed and, you know, what the salary is for each one of those positions. So I can provide that to the committee. Would that suit you?
That'd be great. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I have one more information request. I think it's consistent with what Representative Rickey and Representative Keene were asking. Can we get copies of the judgments, perhaps the order that was imposed by the district court on the case that led to the $5 million settlement? And I believe perhaps there also is a Ninth Circuit. Was there a Ninth Circuit decision affirming the district court as well? So if we can get both of those, that would be helpful.
Mr. Chair, Representative Mercer, absolutely. We'll make sure the committee gets those.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe my question is for Ms. Erica Johnston regarding the relief fund for rent.
Ms. Johnston.
Chairman, Representative, I believe the housing relief funds are in the purview of Department of Commerce.
Well, I believe it's Cheryl Cohen that you wish
okay.
for, Representative Fuller.
Ms. Cohen, then. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I'm available for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Cohen. Of the $15 million that was granted for rent relief, I think I heard you say that was $8.4 million was spent. Was the rest of that all sent back to the federal government?
No, Mr. Chairman and Representative, the funds will be released back to OBPP via a budget change document. We released a significant amount already and are just working on some final reconciliation processes, and we'll be preparing a BCD to send the remaining funds back to OBPP.
Mr. Chair, follow up real quick.
Follow up.
I apologize, but I have sacrificed my hearing in the service of my country, and I do a lot of lip reading, and I did not understand what she said.
Representative, I'll have Cheryl repeat it one more time. If not, I can.
Thank you.
Representative, my apologies. I'll try to enunciate a bit more clearly. We have released some of the funding back of the initial $50 million that was allocated for emergency housing assistance. I believe we released approximately $33 million via a budget change amendment a few months back to OBPP. And we are working on some final reconciliations for payments, and we'll release the remaining funds via a budget change document also back to OBPP. And I would suggest deferring to Amy Sassano, the Deputy Budget Director, on the use of those funds once we've released them back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Additional questions from the committee? Representative Cheatham. Or Vice Chair Cheatham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Why don't I allow Representative Bartel to ask his, and then I'll come on afterward.
Representative Bartel.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I have a question for, I believe it's Shauna Helfert for the Department of Revenue. Could you explain to me how the $8 million in supplemental, how did it come about? I mean, I have an idea where it's going, but just fill me in, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Bartel. That $8 million, so each year the Department of Revenue asks for language appropriation so that we can not only buy the liquor that's distributed out to the state, but also any funding that we need to transfer. So the taxes that come into that account, as well as any profit transfers that are sent from the proprietary account from the Alcoholic Beverage Control Division to the general fund, we need language appropriation to do so. And in the course of this last year, as was mentioned by the sponsor, is that our liquor sales have kind of gone through the roof. We've had a 35% increase, which is unheard of. And we didn't anticipate how much language appropriation that we would need for this year. And so that's what this request is asking for additional language appropriation. So at the end of the day, we can transfer our profits over to the general fund.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, question?
Representative Bartel.
Mr. Chair, I would like to request the information that Representative Mercer asked for, if we could get that before executive action day so we have time to look at it, or either that or I postpone executive action.
Representative Bartel, if we don't have it, we won't take executive action, so we are... that is understood. I would want all the information here before we took executive.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up what Representative Mercer and Representative Bartel have said, we have one page of information and no detail, and I feel like that's woefully inadequate in terms of trying to make decisions on some of these matters, because we've got a $1 million plus authorization for the Department of Revenue that seems to me probably should have been brought as its own bill rather than being brought as a supplemental here for us to decide on. I also would like, I guess I have a, I'm not sure if it's a question for you as a chair or for Representative Beattie, but the question is this, that there had to have been some background documents or information that went into building this plan so that we understood, or the bill sponsor understood what was going into that. Could we have access to those documents as well so that we can look at them just to gain a more in-depth insight into what went to building this document so that we're more well-prepared when we come to executive action to be able to address that? And then I have a couple of questions for information witnesses.
Certainly. So Representative Beattie,
Chairman Jones, I'd be happy to provide the information I had to substantiate this. I think it should be part of the packet of information that is put together for House Bill 3.
Okay, thank you. First question I guess I have is for Ms. Helfert.
Ms. Helfert?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chairman Chita, yes.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Helfert, can you explain to the committee what the initiation or genesis of this particular lawsuit was based upon so that we have some clarification? I have a number of questions I will follow up with.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Chita, this lawsuit stemmed from a bill that was passed by the legislatures in 2015. It was Senate Bill 193, which was basically to consolidate the agency liquor store's commission rates. They used to have three different commission rates that were arbitrarily assigned, and the agency liquor stores came together and came with a package and said, this is what we'd like our to change the commission rates to be a little bit more streamlined, and it would be based upon the volumes of sales that are done each year. And so based upon your volume would determine how much your commission rate is each year. And this was supported by the agency liquor stores as well as the Tavern Association and other liquor representatives. The bill, in essence, there was, I believe, most of the stores were winners in the situation. They got a bump in their commission rate, while there were six agency stores that had a decrease in their commission rate. And so the Lolo Liquor store had taken on the filed the complaint and alleged that we violated the contract clause. And so as the department was named the defendant, we were the ones to basically argue the case for the last since 2015.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Helfert, did the liquor store, the six liquor stores that saw their profit margin reduced, did they have contracts with the state at a set rate at the time that the changes were made to modify the revenue or the profit margins that those stores are going to receive?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cheetah, the agency liquor stores did have contracts. We believe that the contract was, at the time of passing of this bill, the thought was is that we could change it because the contract did say so. However, obviously we lost as a state. I do have Dave Stewart, our chief legal counsel, online if you'd like to hear a little bit more from an attorney on how that actually transpired. Would you like to do that?
I don't believe I need to do that at this point, but if so, I will redirect to Mr. Stewart. So follow okay. up, Mr. Chair. Ms. Helfert, so at the, I would imagine it was at the federal district court that the state first lost their case. Is that correct, or did you win that case at the Ninth Circuit or at the Federal District Court,
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Ishida? I'd like to defer that to Dave Stewart, if I may.
Okay, go ahead and redirect.
Redirect, please.
Mr. Chair, who are we looking for again? Could you remind me?
Dave Stewart.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Vice Chair Cheetah, Dave Stewart for the Montana Department of Revenue. And if I understood your question, Mr. Vice Chair, you were asking about what happened at the district court level?
Affirmative.
Yeah, so the Department of Revenue won at the federal district court level in 2017. And the liquor stores appealed to the Ninth Circuit, okay, where the decision was reversed.
Correct. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'd like to redirect to Ms. Helfert, if I could, another question. I might have one or two after that, but I'll hurry up and wrap this up.
To Ms. Helfert, please.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chairman Keita.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Helfert, from what profit margin to what reduced profit margin did Lola Liquor and, well, let's stick with them because they are the plaintiff in this matter. What was their profit margin reduced by? What percentage?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cheetah, I do not have that in front of me. I do know they had a commission rate of 16%, and I believe it went down to approximately 12.5%, but I will get you those exact numbers.
Please. Another follow-up for Ms. Helfert. Ms. Helfert, what happened to the money, the differential between the 12.5 and the 16% that would have been spent would have gone to Lola Liquor? Where did that money go at the Department of Revenue?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cheetah, so what happens with the liquor proprietary fund is that we collect in the fees and the revenue that's generated, and at the end of the day, we turn around and roll that profit over back to the general fund.
Follow-up. I might have one more, but this may be the last follow-up, Chair, for Ms. Helfert. So that money was reallocated back. And at the time the judgment at the Ninth Circuit was awarded to Lola Liquor, was there an option for the state to settle at that moment to avoid $800,000 potentially in interest charges?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cheetah, at the time that the settlement or the judgment happened in the Ninth Circuit, the department tried to settle, but it was a matter of course on what interest rate transpired, whether it was 1.75 or 10%. And ultimately, the Ninth Circuit decided that it was the 10%.
Okay, so just a comment, Mr. Chair. So there could have been a settlement at that point in time for the original 10%, you could have settled it, and it wouldn't matter whether it was 1.7 or 10%. You could have settled the case without interest and saved the state $800,000. Am I correct in assuming that?
Mr. Chair, Vice Chair Cheetah, I'm not sure what the other party would have been interested in doing. We did meet for settlement purposes, and we were unable to come to those an agreement with that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Silver.
Representative Winnieboy, did you have a question?
Yes, I did, Mr. Chairman, but my good buddy across the hall here had his hand up before I did. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Shannon Helfert from DOR. Mr. Chairman, Shannon, on the revenue of the marijuana on 190, when do you expect the revenues to start come into the state?
Now, Mr. Chairman, Representative Mindy Boy, so according to the initiative as it states right now is that folks can apply for a license to be a provider in October 1st of 2021. So at that point in time when they're applying for their license, they would also we would receive in revenues for that. And then according to the initiative, we have 90 days to process that application. And then once the application is approved, then that provider would be able to sell. And so I'm guessing that the actual sales of recreational or adult use marijuana won't happen until the end of 2021 or the beginning of 2022, in which case we will be receiving tax revenues at that point in time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question. So once the revenues start coming in, is there a formula that you have for distribution as far as some of those where you plan on redirecting? Are there local governments that are involved in some of the distributions or anything like that? Who gets the money?
Mr. Chair, Representative Wendy Boy, I apologize to be talking over top of you. The distribution was determined in the initiative. The initiative laid out where all the distribution goes, and it's goes to non-game wildlife account, it goes to the state park, there's some that goes to trails and recreation, some to fish, wildlife, and parks, 10.5% of it goes to the general fund, some goes to DPHHS, Some goes to the Commerce for drug treatment, as well as the drug treatment is for DPHHS. There's some money that goes to the Veterans Affairs. So there's a wide variety of accounts that this goes into based upon what was in the initiative.
Thank you, Ms. Chairman. One last question, and that reflect. I didn't hear you say local governments. Are there local governments that will be getting part of this?
Mr. Chair, Representative Windy Boy, I'm just looking at this quickly, and I do not see that as a case.
Actually, Sean, I believe 10.5%, isn't it, goes to local governments through Commerce?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 10% goes into a sub-account to Commerce for distribution to the local governments representing the locality where the retail sales occurs. Thank you. Yes, that is true.
Okay, thank you. Is there any going to the slush fund so we can have at it?
Representative Keene, did you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, just to comment on this $5 million, and I see the reason we have to have it because they're also... their proprietary fund needs money, but in 2015 they were willing to settle, but the department actually just kept pushing this, and it was contract law. We had the bill dead 3 times in the Senate, but it just kept coming back to life, and here we are 5 years later. So it's cost the state $1 million a year for not doing the right thing. So just want to make that comment.
Representative Keene. Additional questions? Checking the screen as well. Oh, sorry, Representative Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just an educational question here, I guess. The CARES Act dollars, I don't know if they received legislative approval. This amendment that's coming up... you know, or does the budget director know, does it require legislative spending approval?
Representative Bartel, I will redirect that to Director Almy. I don't believe it necessarily does, but Director Almy?
Mr. Chair, just letting you know that Amy Sassano has her hand raised as well.
Deputy Director Sassano.
Mr. Chair, Representative Bartel, if this money were to have come in when the legislature was not in session, we would have processed the appropriations via a budget amendment, which you're familiar with budget amendments because you're carrying House Bill 4 next. However, the budget amendment statute designates that when the legislature is in session, the executive does not have the delegated authority to process budget amendments, and therefore we do require legislative appropriation for these funds. And so because the money is coming in within a couple of weeks, we are asking that the committee expedite the appropriation so that the agencies can get the money out to Montana citizens and organizations as quickly as possible. I have provided to Joe Treem a summary document that outlines the funds, and just keep in mind that there have been no specific allocations published by the federal government, so these are our best estimates. And when you see the amendment, that is why there is language in there that would allow the budget office to allocate money among the buckets to match exactly what the grant amounts are when they come in.
Thank you.
Okay, additional questions? Seeing none, and did we do public comment? And we haven't done public comment yet, have we? Okay, probably need to do that first, but one minor screw up here. Seeing no additional questions, let's do public comment now, if there is any public comment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have Shyla Patera.
Shyla,
please raise your hand.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, and members of the Appropriations Committee and staff. My name for the record is Shiloh Patera, spelled S-H-Y-L-A-P-A-T-E-R-A. I appreciate the time to speak to you very quickly, and I appreciate the discussion on House Bill 3 and later House Bill 4, which is coming. We hope at Nichols to be a major part for Montanans with disabilities as the CARES Act money moves forward in education, housing, and DPHHS, as many Montanans with disabilities and North Central Montanans use HUD-assisted funding, Medicaid services, and school funding as well. So I appreciate the time to add some public comment, and I've appreciated this discussion. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. Additional questions? Okay, seeing none, this will close the hearing on House Bill 3. Next up will be House Bill 4, Representative Bartel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 4 is a budget amendment bill. Budget amendments are provided from Title 17, Chapter 7, Part 4, and are usually authorized in the interim by respective approving authorities for each branch of government. But when the legislature is in session, the budget amendments are approved through the legislature, which is what House Bill 4 is. Budget amendments provide one-time-only spending authority, and it primarily these are federal funds. These funds are not appropriated in House Bill 2 because they are not expected to continue long-term. As is, House Bill 4 expenditures are not included in the base budget for the next biennium. So House Bill 4 basically authorized these funds to be spent by state agencies into the next biennium, and it was just leftover funding that did not get spent in the previous biennium. So there is a fiscal note of $294,047,371. And if there's any questions, I have Amy Sassano from the Budget Office should be able to answer any specifics if I can't answer them. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also, Mr. Chair, I forgot Dan Bartel from House District 29 in Lewistown.
Too many electronic devices to try and monitor at one time. Was busy getting directions in my ear. Sorry, Representative. So we're at the proponents. So with that, we'll try proponents in person. Are there any proponents in person? Okay, proponents on the Zoom. And we have a couple hands raised on Zoom.
Mr. Chair, we have Shiloh Patera as a proponent.
Shiloh?
Good morning again, Mr. Chair and members of the Appropriations Committee. For the record, my name is Shiloh Patera, spelled S-H-Y-L-A-P-A-T-E-R-A. And I represent North Central Independent Living Services, and there are three budget amendments that I would like to speak to you about. One is in rail transit and planning and the bus facility services. I have been a member of the Capital Review Committee that decides where and how this funding should move forward, and I know that those communities that ask for bus and bus facility funding really need that funding to help not only repair older buildings, but also move forward with sidewalk construction outside their buildings and other accessibility issues. what a couple others that are near and dear to my heart are the 811 housing voucher assistance programs in Montana. Many in the independent living movement and North Central Independent Living were instrumental in bringing those to Montana, and we could definitely use more of those vouchers in the spending authority that we are awaiting for to move forward, because many people are trying to use those vouchers to get into housing, particularly in Northwest Montana. It's a little harder in different areas because HUD contracts and different things have to match up just perfectly for builders, developers, and property managers and landlords to use those, but that is another issue for another day. And we also encourage housing partnerships for the HOPWA program and the Emergency Services Grant program, as well as one that is not listed in this year's budget amendment that may be coming forward later for Money Follows the Person, which helps people transition from state institutions and nursing homes into the community. Funding was passed by Congress, so you may hear of that later in session or the next interim, but these funding authorities are very necessary for people, and they do allow Montanans to receive services in shelters or in their own home in the housing realm, and those are just a few of the budget authorities that I've worked with, but many in this bill are very important for accessibility. So I do urge passage of this bill and movement on to the floor. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Additional proponents?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have Amy Sassano.
Ms. Sassano.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Amy Sassano. That's S-A-S-S-A-N-O. I am the Deputy Budget Director of the Governor's Budget Office. Thank you to Representative Bartel for carrying this bill, which is a little complicated and confusing. Budget amendments are primarily processed for one-time federal grants that are received separately from anticipated federal funds already appropriated in House Bill 2. Typically, these grants are for specific projects or initiatives and are not intended for the general operations of state agencies. In limited situations, a budget amendment can also be appropriated for state special revenue or proprietary funds, but there is no such thing as a general fund budget amendment. The budget amendment process is defined in Title 17 and has a very specific set of parameters that regard the appropriation. These parameters included conditions that each individual budget amendment must meet prior to approval. The legislature has authorized the budget director and other approving authorities to process budget amendments with the legislature when it's not in session. However, they must be brought to the legislature for further approval to allow the appropriations to continue beyond the end of the federal fiscal year. And those are the grants that you see in the introduced version of the bill. In addition, any grants received while the legislature is in session must be approved by the legislature. So as Representative Bartel indicated, the unspent total in the appropriations that are included in House Bill 4 today totals about $294 million. Of that, about $120 million is in the Department of Transportation, primarily for what they call grab bag funds, which is similar to what Mr. Flynn was referring to in the House Bill 3 hearing, in that if other states are unable to obligate their full allotment of funds from the Federal Highway Administration, then they pull those allocations back from those states and reallocate them and to states that have projects ready to go. And Montana always has projects ready to go. There is $40 million in the Office of Public Instruction, which is primarily related to the continuation of some CARES Act dollars that they received that have a later deadline than than the December 30th deadline that was applicable to the Coronavirus Relief Fund. And as you would assume, a large player in that pot is also DPHHS, which has about $61 million in that $294 million pot. What I will say is that agencies continue to spend these dollars throughout this fiscal year, so the amount that will continue into the next fiscal year will be less than the $294 million by whatever amount that they spend in the remainder of this fiscal year. You do have an amendment that will be offered for the bill, which includes those budget amendments that our office has received since the time that we drafted House Bill 4, and that totals about $17 million. And if you have any specific questions about items in the bill, I'm happy to answer those. And I think there are also some agency folks on if you have specific questions that they can answer. But I do know some agency folks weren't able to get on the call because they didn't register by noon yesterday. So I will do my best to cover those if the agency is not on the line.
Okay, are there additional proponents?
If there are any other proponents on Zoom, could you raise your hand?
Okay.
Seeing any more, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir. Are there any opponents in the room or in the hallway? No one out there, okay. Are there opponents on Zoom?
I'm not seeing any hands raised, Mr. Chair.
Are there informational witnesses in the hallway or here? Are there informational witnesses on Zoom? Oh, we have a whole...
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm seeing Garrett Norcott from Department of Commerce.
Okay, Garrett. Well, he's on there and he looks unmuted, but we do not hear anything.
Okay, we'll go to the next person.
Well, Cheryl Conan.
Chairman Jones, members of the committee, this is Cheryl Cohen, C-O-H-E-N, and I serve as the Housing Division Administrator with the Department of Commerce, and I'm also serving as the Interim Division Administrator for the Community Development Division, and I'm here to answer any questions on the amendments relating to the Community Development Division Housing Trust Fund and the Montana Housing 811 Project Rental Assistance Program.
Okay.
Next, we have Sonia German, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Sonia.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Sonia German, S-O-N-Y-A-G-E-R-M-A-N-N, and I'm the Forestry Division Administrator with Montana DNRC, and stand available to answer any questions on the forest and trust land section of the DNRC portion of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia.
Next, Mr. Chair, we have Barbara Quinn of Office of Public Instruction.
Barbara.
Ms. Quinn, can you try unmuting?
Okay. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Thank you. Chairman Jones, members of the committee, my name is Barbara Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N. I'm a budget analyst for the Office of Public Instruction, and I will be standing by to answer questions that you might have about the awards listed under the Office of Public Instruction's part of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quinn.
Next, Mr. Chair, we have Larry Flynn of Department of Transportation.
Mr. Flynn.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Larry Flynn, F-L-Y-N-N with MDT, to answer questions about that portion of the bill.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, we have Anna Pakenham-Stevenson from DNRC.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman and members of the committee. My name for the record is Anna Packenham Stevenson, A-N-N-A-P-A-K-E-N-H-A-M-S-T-E-V-E-N-S-O-N. I'm the Water Resources Division Administrator for the DNRC and here to answer any questions in that section of the bill.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Chair, we have Nate Thomas of Department of Justice.
Nate?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Nate Thomas with the Department of Justice, T-H-O-M-A-S. I'm here on behalf of the Department of Justice, so if you have questions, I stand ready.
Thank you, sir.
Next, Mr. Chair, we have Natalie Smitham of Department of Labor.
Thank you. Natalie?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Natalie Smitham, that's S-M-I-C-H-A-M, with the Department of Labor and Industry, and I'm available for any questions about the department section of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalie.
And next, Mr. Chair, we have Garrett Norcott of Department of Commerce.
Garrett? Mr. Norcott, you're muted. There you go.
Mr. Chairman, can you hear me okay?
Now I hear you. Yes, sir.
Great. Good morning. Good morning, committee members. My name is Garrett Norcott, N-O-R-C-O-T-T, and I'm Chief Legal Counsel for the Department of Commerce, and I'm available to answer any questions you have relating to the components were in the bill.
Thank you, sir.
Next, Mr. Chair, we have Tricia Griberis of DNRC.
Tricia.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Patricia Griberis, spelled G-R-E-I-B-E-R-I-S, with the DNRC Chief Financial Officer, available for questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that's all those that have their hand raised. If there are any more informational witnesses, could you raise your hand? Mr. Chair, we have Dustin Temple of FWP.
Dustin?
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Dustin Temple, T-E-M-P-L-E, Deputy Director, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, here for questions relating to FWP.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair, I'm not seeing any other informational witnesses.
Okay. So at this point, everybody should have raised their hand so we don't get somebody late like last time. Anybody that wanted to be a proponent, opponent, or informational needs to have spoken. Thank you. With that, questions from the committee. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Deputy Director Sassano.
Deputy Director Sassano, please.
Mr. Chairman, Deputy Director Sassano, I wonder if you can help clarify for us what you were saying about the CARES Act items that are set forth in House Bill 4. I did see in the DPHHS section on page 9 that there's a reference to the Community Services Block Grant. There are some other items under the DPHHS heading, but I know there were a lot of revenue streams that were part of the CARES Act that were not part of the coronavirus relief funds that we commonly have understood as the $1.25 billion, that there were, the Board of Crime Control got some money. There were, I don't know, 40, 50 different funds. Are those all reflected in House Bill 4 to the extent that they haven't been fully expended, or are some of those things not in House Bill 4 because of the nature of the statutory appropriation authority that existed when the dollars came to the state that we effectively aren't seeing them here and we don't have any discretion to deal with them?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mercer, as you referred to, the Coronavirus Relief Fund is probably the most well-known item that was contained in the CARES Act. That was the $1.25 billion. We did use a statutory appropriate to appropriate that money. But the rest of the money that we would refer to as siloed money, more like what you see in the amendment that we proposed for House Bill 3, we appropriated by budget amendment. And so each of those pots of money came with different end dates. So to the extent, and the budget amendment statute requires that if an appropriation extends beyond September 30th of 2021, in this case, that they must be presented to the legislature for further approval. So any CARES Act dollars that extend beyond September 30th of 2021 would be included in this bill.
All right. I would like to follow up. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there a way, Ms. Sasano, that you could identify for us, not in the course of today's hearing, but can we get a version of this bill that would put asterisks next to the items that you're seeking authority for in House Bill 4 that came through the CARES Act dollars, just so we can understand which of those things have some sort of continuing authority beyond the end of the federal fiscal year that we're currently in?
Mr. Chair, Representative Mercer, yes, we did use a special coding in the accounting system to account for CARES Act dollars, so I can very easily generate that for you. And the one thing that I would just make a note of for you is that the dollar amount that we show you, like I indicated earlier, would be the dollar amount that's available today, which could be different tomorrow or next week or next month.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. I do have one more follow-up for Ms. Sasano, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Follow-up.
Ms. Sasano, I'm now looking at page 5 of House Bill 4, and I wonder if it seems to me that I asked this very same question 2 years ago, I wish I had clarity on what the answer was, but there are three lines here under the Water Quality Division, beginning at line 20, where I think it appears that there were federal dollars that came to the state of Montana for non-point source project grants starting in federal fiscal year 2017. It looks like we then got money in 2018. We got money in 2019 and 2020. And if I remember the answer correctly, and if I'm interpreting this language correctly, that money still has yet to be expended by the state of Montana after all that time. Is that a proper understanding of what has happened? And in fact, are you asking us to give the executive branch continuing authority to expend dollars that it has had and it has not spent going back over a 4-year period?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Mercer, part of what happens is that some of these federal grants that come in have, they are one-time grants, but they may have a life cycle of 5 years or so. And so if the same item could be included in House Bill 2 from last time, or excuse me, House Bill 4 from last time, and House Bill 4 from this time, depending on the end date of that grant. But in specific to the ones in the Water Quality Division, I could refer you to either Anna or Tricia, who may be able to address those ones more specifically.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thanks, Ms. Sasano. I think this is within DEQ, so I didn't hear anyone from DEQ on the line. But I think we can take this up with them separately.
Hang on my list. Just one moment. Okay, so for example, the FY17 non-point source grant had an end date of 7/16/22, Representative Mercer. And so that would have to continue because the appropriation continues into the next biennium. I can tell you that there is $322,000 remaining in that FY17 grant. The FY18 grant has an end date of 6/30/23, and there's about $300,000 left in that grant. And then the FY19 grant has an end date of 6/30/24. And so that one you very well, if it's not all expended, you probably would see in House Bill 4 next session. And that one currently has a remaining balance of $428,803.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Okay, Representative Wendy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Probably for Ms. Sassano.
Ms. Sassano.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sassano, on page 2, on lines 2 through 4, where it says that the federal budget authority for the help vote, is there any remaining that is from this cycle, and how much is being the request being authorized to for the 2023 fiscal?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wendy Boy, would you mind telling me the agency?
Business and Government Services, Secretary of State. On page 2 of where it starts from line 1 to line 4.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wendy Boy, so the Secretary of State has, they received some CARES Act funding, and they have about $2.8 million of that. These are all related to the Help America Vote Act. And that one is probably not, well, currently the expiration date is 12/31/20, so it may not be in your bill, but I'm not sure on that one if the new federal bill extended that authority. They also have another grant from the Help America Vote Act, which is good until spent, which is a very rare condition that sometimes comes with federal funds, and that one only has $17,000 remaining in it. They have another HAVA election security grant that's good through 9/30/23, and that one has $1.8 million remaining. And then finally, they have an additional HAVA election security grant that is good through 12/20/24, and that one has just under $2 million remaining in it. So the total of those three is around $6.6 million.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have another question on the same page, Ms. Sassano, at the bottom on line 28. When it's talking about the Federal Budget Amendment Authority for the anti-meth program is authorized through that, is there any language in there that also addresses another epidemic that we're facing with prescription drugs? With
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wendy Boy, I am looking for that one on my list. I do know that we have Nate Thomas on the line from the Department of Justice. I think those grants are usually fairly specific, but I would refer to Nate for more information on that one.
Redirect, please.
Yes, please, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Nate Thomas again for the Department of Justice. Ms. Sassano has that accurate. The federal awards are fairly specific, and this one was targeted at anti-methamphetamine. So the other prescription drugs are not explicitly cited in that award.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one more question. I'm not too sure who it would be directed to, probably for Ms. Sassano on historic preservation on page 4.
Okay. Ms. Sassano, historic preservation, page 4, please.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Sassano, on line 1 on historic preservation program, says all remaining fiscal year 2021 federal budget amendment authority to historic preservation grant program. Is there amount in there that I'm trying to look at it on the fiscal note as well, where that sits? How much is it?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Wendy Boy, there are several grants within the Historical Society that are related to historic preservation. So I'm not exactly sure which one that you're referring to, but I'm so they have one grant that is historic sites preservation that extends through 9/30 of 22, and there's $234,000 remaining in that grant. They have another grant that extends through 9/30 of 21, which would not be in the bill. And so here's another one that extends through 9/30 of 22, and that one has $94,000 remaining in it. So you're looking at just over $300,000.
Mr. Chairman, I have one more question in that line, but just for disclosure purposes, Mr. Chairman, I'm my tribe's tribal historic preservation officer at home, so I'm kind of redirecting some of these questions pertaining to that, because if there's this amount that's coming to the state, the relationship between the state historic preservation and the tribal historic preservation, we all know that there is deep tribal historic resource management that's in the state of Montana, and it seems like there's a kind of a hit and miss relationship where the state historic preservation does not fully get where the tribal historic preservation and vice versa. There it's probably minimal at best, but what I'd like to do is and see is that if there is going to be any more, I'd like to see more tribal input on some of these cultural sites and whatnot, Mr. Chairman. So I'll make that as a comment.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I will pass Representative Wendy Boyd's comments on to the Historical Society. I do know that some of these grants come in for very specific projects, but I will pass those comments on to the Historical Society so they can get in touch with Representative Wendy Boyd and discuss potential opportunities there.
Thank you, Ms. Sasano. Additional questions? Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Ms. Sasano.
Ms. Sasano, please.
Representative Keene? Amy, I just want to get this in round numbers, kind of. So we're moving, and I know you said that it might change. We're moving about $300 million in four, and we haven't seen the amendment for three. And I think I saw something. There's about $800 million there. So we're roughly between three and four moving around or have discretion. And I know there's restrictions on about $1.1 billion. Am I in the ballpark there?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Keene, yes.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Okay, check the screen. See none on the screen. Okay, with that, I guess seeing no additional questions and nobody raised their hand all of a sudden here, I guess that will end the hearing on, that was House Bill 4. So we'll close the hearing on 4. And we need to, we're running into some technical difficulties up here, so we need about a 10-minute break, probably, to get them worked out, and then we'll do House Bill 1. So we'll be back promptly in 10 minutes at 11:20. So we're in recess.
They anticipate spending more than in the last 9 million, so that'll come down to our house. So I had a great time over there.
Wonderful, but getting better.
It's early.
Most of them are pretty nice. Most of them have gotten back to do with the settlement, which I thought was one thing.
least controversial, but that is the Airdrie County Party Hot Game. Thanks. And I think we should go to
Yeah, we're having a computer issue.
Yeah, or the information I have. They sent me some information.
My computer's acting up.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Myself.
Go out on
Yeah.
that was, it worked perfect. It worked well. That was
Well, we can have it, but it's not going to be, I mean, we can move it somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, if we ever get anybody to commit, tell me where you want that monitor. They have to hook it up to something, to a computer or something. But once we have that monitor up, we can see. Well, that one. We can get it. Too many voices inside my head.
And try to prevent them basically become a room mag.
Yeah.
But it's all.
Yeah. You've been doing a pretty good job for this for the first time. I think it's going really good.
It's fun.
Another symptom for all me, Dave Stewart, to fix up with. That's us.
Just happened to
Concentrate on the feed.
Representative Jones.
Challenges once we get her smooth down. And it seems to work pretty well for the first couple of months. 27 people, 24 legislators.
I'm curious, like, remember the public wanted to
be more. Well, Zoom appears to be working the easiest because that makes it more convenient for them to come on and off. And we do have a methodology where we are, you are required to wear a mask to come into the room. But the sergeants will let the proponents and opponents are informational and one at a time to the podium to give their testimony. As Susan Fox is going to do that information. And so you can testify in person, but since the room's already at the task, you want to time to the room.
Well,
you know, I thought it was important to take care of my community and to do what I could to be as respectful to those who prefer masks and those who prefer not, to keep people as safe as possible. And so other chairmen and other room managers make the choices that they make. We drafted this out in detail.
I know, I was going to ask you, is that like a cab or what is your big problem?
national infrastructure as well designed as it could be for this pandemic.
Hey there. Good. Putting on my non-political hat.
She was. She's a Montana, and she's committed to Montana.
Okay.
That's why she did. She could have made way more in the private sector.
You have something you need to be doing. You came over this time. That's all in the discussion.
No. In case you weren't sure, no.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it was funny.
No.
Hey, are you going to call home and see if you have to do that?
the technical difficulties taken care of, so we're going to start up again with House Bill 1. Everybody take their seats, please. Okay, call a hearing for House Bill 1 to order, and Representative Jones.
Mr. Chairman, members, I bring for your consideration House Bill 1. I'm Representative Lou Jones, House District 18, North Central Montana. So House Bill 1 is our standard feed bill. It's the bill that we, as soon as I grab my right set of notes here, it's the bill that we begin every session with. It funds our House operations, our Senate operations, and the Legis Services Division's portion that's linked to House and Senate operations. It covers legislative salaries, per diem, benefits, and mileage, House and Senate staff salaries, House and Senate operational costs, some leadership discretionary funds. It covers Legislative Services Divisions for bill printing, distribution, information, House and Senate phones, and constituent services allowance accounts. It has some new expenses this year linked to the remote and virtual sessions that you are seeing occurring. It also covers caucus costs for the next caucus and about the first couple weeks of the next session. We're running right now on the last year's feed bill for about 10 days, 2 weeks. And trainings for next year as well. It's about $916,673 more than the 2019 feed bill. Those increases are associated with legislative salary increases, with constituent accounts increases, and I believe you have a fact sheet to look up with startup costs for the next session. Probably some of the larger areas of increases is the remote virtual session costs for new in 2021 were $636,394, which includes remote meeting managers, remote meeting coordinators, remote device connectivity, Teams licenses, system support, COVID health staff, and additional physical space for meetings in the Missouri building. And so with that, I will close my testimony, and I reserve the right to close.
Okay. Are there anyone that's outside for Zoom for proponents? Anybody out there?
Does not appear anybody has their hand raised for proponents.
Any opponents?
No one. Nobody is raising their hands for opponents.
Okay. We'll go to the committee. Any questions from the committee? Oh, excuse me. Informational witnesses first. Is there any informational witnesses? Susan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Susan Byerth Fox. I'm the Executive Director of Legislative Services Division, and I'm just here to support and answer any questions. It's my office that's responsible for helping put this together and administering the feed bill. So I also have Angie Carter, our Financial Services Manager, and Jennifer Simmons, our budget specialist, on call to be able to help me answer any questions if I need to. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. Okay, from the committee, any questions? Mr. Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Ms. Fox. It looks like all the increase here is in Legislative Services Division. In the opening, was that... is most of that COVID, or I mean, we've got $800,000 here that overlast biennium?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Regeer, it is about two-thirds of it. The legislator salary increase because of the salaries, the statutory increase that was given to all state employees last session applied to you this session. So the legislator salary and... I'm not sure if the PERS percentage went up, but some of it is legislator salary, and then there's a little bit in House and Senate operations. So about two-thirds is COVID-related, and about a third is House and Senate-related.
Okay. Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up.
Is there any federal money that's available for that versus general fund paying for that?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Regeer, we used the federal money to do the infrastructure parts that we could. The requirement was that you had to expend the money before December 31st. Hmm. So if you look on page 2, like the remote meeting coordinator team, those people were hired, and there was very little time and money to pay for anything in December. And so January costs, by definition, have to be funded through the state. Also, the remote device connectivity, that's a bill that we get from ITSD every month, so that was not something we could pay for in advance. Session systems support and the COVID health staff, again, those are things that are happening during session, and so they were not qualified for those funds. We did exercise that, and we did get a lot of the PPE and supplies, and then much of the equipment, the server and things like that, to allow us to use the Zoom licenses. We did get funding for that, and I can get you an accounting on what we have spent the federal funding for, and you can see that it's different from this. And then later on, when we do House Bill 2, when we do the legislative branch budget, we have some expenses that we were able to take care with federal funds that we'll be able to reduce our request in House Bill 2. So I figured that was more appropriate during our House Bill 2 discussion, but I can certainly get you that information ahead of time.
No, I don't need that. That takes care of it. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Representative Garner.
Mr. Chair, a question for Ms. Fox. Mr. Chair, Ms. Fox, to Vice Chair Regeer's question, if we found in the upcoming appropriation of COVID money that those expenses were covered, would we be able to supplant those funds with the COVID if we make this appropriation now?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Garner, that's a really good question. It's everything's so new, I'm not familiar with that yet. But as we worked with the past budget officer, they were very helpful in helping us follow the rules, make sure we were using it appropriately. We'll continue to do so, and I can certainly look into that because, okay. You know, we might not be able to do that for expenses that we've already paid, you know, maybe up to January 25th or something. But, you know, perhaps we can do that, apply for further or future funding. So that's a really good point, and we can certainly, I'll do a little bit more investigation on that and hopefully have an answer for you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to follow up on Representative Gardner's question, so as we've done these other bills, there's a significant amount of money, which was addressed by the budget office. So I guess my thing is since we're in session now and all things have to be approved by the legislature for this funding, as was discussed over the last period of time when this money came in the previous administration, but we have to approve it all this time, I guess I would ask the budget office to seriously consider working diligently with us to help us replace our expenses in order to put the session forward, since we're going to help them. We need to work very closely together, Mr. Chairman.
That's something we could consult with the Office of BVD. Any other questions from the committee? Oh, okay. Vice Chair Peter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for Ms. Fox, please. Mr. Chair, Ms. Fox, I understand that in order to get some of the issues resolved that we're having with technology, we have to go to ITSD and ask them or submit a help ticket to receive some sort of response from them for some technological issues that we're having. Do you have any idea how many we have had to request from them this year, how many we requested the last session, and how many from the last session are still open that have not been resolved?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Cheetah. I will explore that and get that information to you. It's not most tickets that we have to, but any time it involves the state network or something that we, a service that we purchase from them. So I'd be happy to collect that information for you, get it back to you.
Okay. Quick follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Uh-huh.
Ms. Fox. Mr. Chair, Ms. Fox, And could you provide for us what state information technology charges either per hour or however they're billing us so that we have some idea of what that cost is so we can do a comparison with what we had in 2019 versus 21? Please. Sure. Thank you.
Yes, I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Caffaro.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I have a question for Ms. Fox as well. So legislators are paid a daily rate, and in the write-up that your staff did or you did, it says that it's approximately comes to $12.56 an hour for legislators. What was the pay increase? You talked about a pay increase?
Yes, let me. It was the same thing that state employees got, so I think it was, wasn't it 50 cents an hour beginning in October of 2019 and then October of 21. So it's exactly the same as whatever, as what the other state employees got.
Follow up? Mr. Vice Chair, Ms. Fox, so legislators make about $12.56 an hour, and if did I read this correctly, that there was relatively little change in the wage between 2007 and 2017, which is 10 years? Is that correct?
You know, I have a history of pay and per diem that I do not have with me right now.
Okay.
But it won't take me very long to get that. It's been kind of a, it went back and forth between a grade 8 employee, and then there's a year got popped to grade 10, and then we switched to broadband, and they didn't include legislators. So it's been kind of a tumultuous, but now, and then they were also doing state employee increases differently than they are, than by the hour, than it worked for legislators. So,
okay.
But I've got that history, and I'll be happy to get that to you shortly. I can get that at the end of the meeting.
But I'm clear that it's $12.56 an hour for legislators. That's our wage.
Commensurate to that. Yeah, you're only paid for 8 hours a day.
Right.
And so if we take that 148 divided by 8, it's $12.56 an hour.
Okay.
But I'm not to assume that you only work an 8-hour day.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Thank you, Ms. Fox.
You bet.
Representative Windyboy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Ms. Fox. We've been... Excuse me. We've been discussing this stimulus money of whether it be $800 million or whatever. Is the language in there flexible enough to allow the administration to issue or distribute taxpayer refunds?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Windyboy, I have not had enough time to look at that. I can certainly work with the budget office and see what's allowed under that, and we can maybe get you a shortened form of that so we can know.
Thank you.
Let's stay on the House Bill 1 if we could, please. Any other questions? Representative Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. Question for Ms. Fox. Actually, I think I have two. Just for clarity, when the interim, is that included in the feed bill, the costs associated with the interim? With travel and committee meetings.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Keough, no. That the bulk of the interim is in Program 21, which is be in the House Bill 2 Legislative Services Division budget. So, like in number on page 1, under number 5, is a cost related to legislator salary, lodging, meals, and mileage for interim committee activities included in House Bill 2. But in this, in the feed bill, there's an option to participate in the public retirement system, and so employer costs are paid from the feed bill for health insurance and retirement. Mm-hmm. And then during the interim, we have to do this strange transfer out of one account into the other account. But the bulk of the feed bill is just for the House and the Senate session costs, and then the Legislative Services Division session costs. So only our temporary staff, the information office, the print shop. So it's really session-oriented, whereas the I believe in the Constitution it says the ordinary expenses of the legislative branch will be in House Bill 2.
I appreciate that clarity. And can I have a follow-up? I'm just curious about one item, the team's license of $55,000. Is that a one-time cost? Is that an annual cost?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Keough, I believe it's an annual cost. And so we can, after the session, we can decide who wants to keep it for the, you know, the interim year. And I believe that's an annual cost. I might have to, because we had that discussion, how long would we need this? How does it work? So let me clarify that for you.
Thank you.
Other questions from the committee? Do we have any hands up on the Zoom for the committee?
No, we do not.
Okay. No other questions? Okay. Mr. Jones, would you like to close?
Well, I think it's all been said. This is our regular feed bill. There is some urgency since you run on, you have about 2 weeks, as you see, of money from last year's feed bill we're running on. And just information-wise, it'll be our intent to potentially do executive on the feed bill tomorrow in this committee. And other than that, I close on the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll close the hearing on House Bill 1. Do we adjourn it?
Just stay there. Okay. So with that, I'll just go ahead and rather than try to switch all the stuff back over, we've completed our business for the day. We are meeting again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We have two bills to hear. I believe off the top of my head, they're House Bill 13 and House Bill 18. We'll hear two bills. We'll do executive action on House Bill 1. And if all the information is received and to satisfaction, we'll potentially consider executive action on House Bill 3 if the information is received and everything's in order. We will not have Appropriations Committee meetings Thursday or Friday because of the Oversight Committee work that's going on. And so we don't have full appropriations either one of those 2 days. So if possible, we'll try to do the feed bill and potentially three, since they're both time-sensitive bills, tomorrow, assuming that the information on three is received to everyone's satisfaction. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we are adjourned.